Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. This afternoon, the Massachusetts State Senate passed a police reform bill. It's the result of months of negotiations among leaders of the Senate and House. The House has begun debate on the bill this evening. The proposal calls for the creation of a state commission to set standards for police training and accountability. The commission would be made up of six civilians and three people from law enforcement. It would certify or license police officers every 3 years and have the power to decertify an officer who uses excessive force or has committed other violations. Sergeant Eddie Crispin, president of the Massachusetts Association of Minority Law Enforcement Officers, has mixed feelings about the bill.
We're in a world now where I think a lot of people are highly suspicious of police behavior, and that's fine with me. I want us to do our jobs better, but I also do not want to create a world where everybody thinks like the police are the bad guys and not give them the due process that everybody else has.
Some leaders on Beacon Hill call the measure one of the most comprehensive approaches to police reform and racial justice in the U.S. since the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Boston community activist Jamal Crawford takes issue with that characterization. He served on the Boston Police Reform Task Force Mayor Marty Walsh formed last summer.
For a group of people who have never done anything as it relates to police reform, and when I say never done anything, I mean even admit that there is a need for police reform or that police could possibly do wrong, for that same group of people to then somehow say that this is the biggest thing since the murder of George Floyd, after, I don't know, decades of ignoring it, well, that reeks to me of arrogance. And if I were them, I would just be satisfied in the fact that they've come a long way and now they are somewhat where the rest of the civilized world was in understanding that these things were not only problematic, but systemic.
So you're saying they're late to the issue, but to the extent that they've addressed the issue at all, and it's gotten to the point where it may go to the governor's desk very soon, what do you make of it? Is it a worthwhile effort? Does it address the issues that you think most need addressing?
Oh, it's absolutely worthwhile, but it is definitely a day late and a dollar short. But, you know, there was a lot of reluctance and a lot of back and forth there, as we see with the arguments around all the sensitive issues, the fear of police unions, the argument over qualified immunity or even police corruption. It becomes a thing where I can't argue with people who don't want to acknowledge what the general world has already determined, you know, is fact.
When you mention qualified immunity and the decertification issue, the biggest sticking point in drafting the bill was the issue of qualified immunity that protects police from civil lawsuits related to their actions. There are a lot of activists who wanted to do away with that protection entirely. The bill, though, keeps it in place unless an officer is decertified by the state commission. That's kind of like taking away their license to be an officer. Do you think that that's a decent middle ground or doesn't go far enough?
No, I mean, clearly, in my belief, it doesn't go far enough. But, you know, as a realist and understanding the political climate, you know, we'll take that. And hopefully in the future, you know, it could be revisited again and either strengthened or and hopefully not diminished. Of course, we don't want anyone to think that, you know, people are trying to deny officers their same rights to the law and, you know, due process and everything else. But at some point, we have to have mechanisms to hold these officers accountable, whether, you know, administratively through the loss of their job and decertification, or in the most egregious of circumstances where they need to be held actually criminally or civilly liable.
There's been a lot of pushback by police unions, by, for instance, the Massachusetts Coalition of Police that put out a rather scathing response to the measure today, saying the bill is crowded with punitive measures, layers of new bureaucracy, the abridgment of basic due process rights for an officer. The State Police Association says state police remain committed to providing modern professional police services, have worked on, supported, implemented many new reforms this year, but says this bill was the product of months of closed-door negotiations, and they're concerned about the limited visibility in this process. Can you see the way forward to a bill that would be strong and enforceable and have the support of police and the unions?
At the end of the day, I don't think that real police reform depends on the cooperation or the support of police. At the end of the day, they are public servants. So it's the public, the citizenry, who gets to decide how the police should conduct themselves. What if we all decided to be like England and say, hey, we don't want police in America to have guns anymore? I might think that that's a terrible idea, but it's up for debate. And if people want that overwhelmingly, then that's what it is. So I think that those who enforce the law, and the laws are made from the people and, you know, supposedly for the people, that those who enforce the law should also be just as willing to be subject to it.
Boston activist Jamaal Crawford, nice to speak with you, Jamaal. Thank you.
You as well. Thanks for having me.